We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you, T.O. Well, one of those billionaires or multi-millionaires will be employing a kid named, a young man named Aiden Hutchinson next year. God willing, of course. Joining us now is his father, Dr. Chris Hutchinson, the former Michigan great Big Ten champion, who, of course, is a emergency room doctor, supervisor, professor, whatever you want to say at Beaumont. And, you know, early on in COVID, we would check in with Dr. Hutchinson periodically to let us know what was true, what was false, what was going on. So he joins us now. How are you?
Not bad. Just, trying to brace for impact of this third wave that no one wants to see.
All right, so let me ask you before we, we'll talk about Aiden a little bit later. The reason we had you on is because everything seemed to be going really, really well. People were getting vaccinated. Not everybody. Obviously, that's a discussion we had yesterday. But now we hear from the CEO of your hospital, the University of Michigan. People are saying, oh, my God, what's going on here? We're being, I don't know if overwhelmed is the correct word. We need to go back to restrictions. What's truth and what's false?
Well, the volume of patients is very significant right now. The peak that we're at right now matches what we had in November of last year. It's not up to where it was, a year ago this time, but it's still on a pretty steep trajectory. So that's the biggest issue we have right now. Some of the differences is, I haven't intubated or put on a ventilator a COVID patient in several months. So it seems as though, in general, they're a little bit less sick, but the volume is getting back up there. Back in, April of last year, I would see pretty much 95% of my patients were all COVID-related. Right now, it's probably about 75%.
Wow.
But again, I'm not 100% sure that my impression is accurate, because maybe we're just used to it now as far as the severity of illness. But before, last April, we were intubating people on a daily basis in the emergency department. That's not happening. Maybe that's the partial effect of the vaccine. Maybe because the people that were the most vulnerable have already succumbed to the disease. It's hard to tell, but it does feel different. But the volume is still there, and it's, disheartening, because you're now at wave three and you're like, is this going to end? Can we please get back to something remotely near normal?
Well, and when you talk about the hospitalizations, that's a key term that we hear. Does that mean it's just simply somebody coming in that you treat and then they're sent home? Or does a hospitalization mean it's somebody that is sick enough that they need to spend the night?
Yeah, that curve is specifically a graph that Beaumont provides to us every day, and it's about patients that are admitted. And again, if you look at those graphs from last year, the early peaks are very low. Why? Because we weren't able to test. That was the biggest issue. Our testing was so restricted last year at this time that it's very hard to compare, because I was sending home at least half the patients, and I'm like, listen, you probably have COVID. I can't test for it because there's not enough reagent to go around, but please quarantine yourself. But now we can test, just about everybody. And most people, you go into a nursing home, you work in a nursing home, you have to get tested every week as a provider. So it's, the testing is out there, so we know about it. But again, even compared to November of last year, this we're already at that peak right now,
and it's trending up, correct?
It's as steep, if not a little bit more steep, and there's no sign that it's turning just yet.
Do we know? Can you figure out why? Because we basically went on a little bit of a shutdown, and then we opened up some stuff, and all of a sudden it's bad. Other states not seeing a rise, and they've been open for a while. Now, other states have shut down, especially in the Northeast, and they're not as bad as we are, but they're still not good.
Yeah, but nobody knows why regionally we're getting hit again. You know, and again, same thing happened in the first wave. Why was Southeast Michigan hit like, you know, equivalent to New York City? We didn't really know that. I mean, there's lots of thoughts about why there's a mild peak in the whole country. You know, we having pandemic fatigue. Is it the variant? We don't really know, but certainly those two factors contribute. But to elaborate on what question ago, just to get this point out, our ICU capacity, while it's full, it's very, again, very different than what it was before. We had 30, 40 people on ventilators during the first wave, and I still think we're in the single digits. So this may be a result of the vaccinations because people aren't as sick. It does prevent a lot of hospitalizations, and it also helps to reduce the severity of the illness. Even though you got admitted, that doesn't mean that if you didn't have your vaccination, you may not have been on a ventilator. So I think there is some benefit there. But we talk about this as emergency physicians. We ask the people that are here, hey, did you get your vaccination? No, I didn't. Well, why not? And again, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, there's been people that have been left behind in the vaccination rollout. But you just look at, you know, the 75-year-old man in front of you, and you're like, man, if you'd have just had your vaccine, you probably would have had a mild illness and probably would have never come to the ER. But instead, you're getting admitted to the hospital, and you're at risk for being on a ventilator. So that's the part that really sort of gets us. We have this therapy that can reduce a lot of this. The rollout and the, you know, the concerns about people having, you know, all these conspiracy theories, and I've heard them all, and you just want to shake your head and go, yeah, that's great and all, but you wouldn't be here right now if you had your vaccine.
So that's going to be my follow-up question. When somebody asks you as a physician, as a doctor, should I get the vaccine? Is it safe? What do you tell them?
It's a very individualized discussion because probably the most people that I get it from are pregnant women, family members that are in my personal family that are pregnant. That's a very difficult question. It's a very personal question. In general, I tell everybody, if you are at risk, I encourage you to get it. You know, older medical problems, those sorts of things. The younger people, it's a little bit harder argument to sell to them sometimes because they're like, listen, I'm not going to get that sick. And it's like, well, it's not necessarily about you. It's about you getting a mild disease and passing it on to somebody else. And if we can reduce that chance, we can reduce it for everybody. So overarchingly answer your question, I do encourage people. I do understand there is some legitimate risk, but when people talk about, you know, government tracing and microchips, and I don't have a lot of tolerance for that. There's certainly a lot of other unknowns because, you know, we've never had a human mRNA vaccine before. Is there some potential issues? Yeah, sure, but that's looking less and less likely after we've given this to millions and millions of people, and the rates of significant reactions are very, very low.
Dr. Chris Hutchinson joined us on the Stoney and Jansen show. Do you have any reason why we're seeing an uptake in younger people getting this, like 30 to 40?
My guess would be that, one, they are the people that were last to be opened up for vaccination. Two, these people are generally more healthy and more willing to go out and about and get exposed. And then everybody's got pandemic fatigue. I mean, I walked down the hallway in the ER just last night and totally forgot I had no mask on. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so you just forget. It just happens. And you're like, wow, I feel, you know, you think you should feel naked without it, but sometimes it's liberating. You know, I feel good. And you're like, oh, God, I got to put my mask back on.
And I do now want to talk a little bit about Michigan football and your son, Aiden Hutchinson, who is obviously one of the key members of Michigan's football team this year and has an extremely bright future. How's he feeling? How's spring ball been going for him? I talked to him a few weeks ago, and I know he was going to get a chance after his injury to get back out there and play a little bit.
Yeah, he had March 11th circled on his calendar. That was the day for the orthopedic surgeon to clear him 100% for activity, which they did. But quickly thereafter, the athletic trainer had to tell Aiden that, unfortunately, the coaches are not going to release you for complete competition. Needless to say, the competitive Aiden was not very happy about that. And I think he and the trainer may have had some an interesting interaction, if you will.
Some words.
So ultimately, it was McDonald's choice. And Aiden and McDonald had to talk about the decision, and McDonald is quite aware that Aiden wanted to play. And he said, listen, this is McDonald saying to Aiden, listen, you know, we're going to let you do something. So he does one-on-one pass rush. He does all the individual drills. He'll do some half line base blocking things. But as far as full team period, he's like, you know, I realize that you're cleared, but you're too valuable to this team to take some, you know, freshman offensive lineman that trips and falls on your ankle and then, you know, hurts your chances for next year. While Aiden understood that, it is still, when you want to play ball, it's a kick in the gut when somebody says you can't. So he's not really going to do much for the spring game. He's been very excited about the pass rush and stuff that he was able to do. And he understands. I mean, his job is to lead, which he's doing from the sideline right now. And his job is to help this defense achieve things that we hope that they can achieve next year. Spring ball is not necessarily as important to him. It's really about the younger guys. So, you know, we've had to sort of, you know, slowly bring him along on that process because he wants to play ball. So he's just getting bigger, faster, stronger, and wait for fall camp to roll around.
Does he like the, besides his disagreement with the new defensive coordinator, does he like him more than the Don Brown scheme?
He likes the change and the difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been lots of talk about, you know, where he's going to be. And, you know, and a part of this is because of where he is. He's now a senior. He now, you know, has a skill set that he can do a lot of things. So they're going to move him around. Aiden realizes that he's going to be a marquee piece in this defense, and they're going to specifically put him in matchups in individual games that are going to benefit the team. So he may not, you know, he may in the base defense lineup here, but depending on who we're playing and what their weaknesses are, he may move anywhere. And he's aware of that. He's excited about that. But, you know, he is excited about some of the differences in this defense versus Don Brown. It's clearly they're still going to blitz. And that's one of their cornerstones, but it's going to be a little bit different. I think some of those things that Aiden got frustrated with in the previous defense, I think those things have dealt with. And, you know, only time will tell. Every time there's a new regime comes in, it's all positive talk, but we got to see what happens on the field and how these kids put it together. And hopefully the coaches can impart, you know, a fundamental game where they can tackle like they're supposed to tackle and get being positioned to make these kids successful. And, you know, we'll find out in September.
Final thing for on the pandemic, I know the governor's supposed to speak at 10 o'clock. She's being pressured from a lot of people to tighten up the restrictions. I assume, where do you stand? You're not for the tightening it up any more than we have here, right?
Well, as we talked about before, I have a lot of different hats in this.
I know.
Being an emergency physician,
right,
owning a restaurant. All of these things, in some degree, conflict with each other. I'm hopeful that she's going to do things based on evidence and not based on fear, and, you know, try to, you know, lessen the impact on both sides of this. You know, both on trying to save as many people, but also not damaging the economy, not damaging people's mental health, because all these things are, we're well aware of now, that these shutdowns have lots of unintended consequences.
Yes, and I still love to go to Pepino's. All right, there you go. You got your plug for me because I go there and I love the place.
Yes.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Chris. That's Chris Hutchinson, dad of Aiden. I would have loved to have been a fly on that conversation between him and Mike McDonald, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
God, I want to play. No, you can't. Oh, boy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.